Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more. My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Welcome to Monsters Among Us. I am your guide, Derek Hayes. Hello, my dearies. It might be time to come out of that candy-induced coma and to wipe the grease paint off your mugs and to hang up your costume. But that doesn't mean spooky season is over. In my opinion, we can stretch it until at least New Year's Day. But I will admit that October is prime spooky season. And now that we've passed the pinnacle of that period, there's finally a moment for my crew and I to take a little break. A quick breather after a very busy October. But we're not going to leave you high and dry. Unless you're a supporter of our Beyond, tonight's content will be brand new for you. That's right, we're unlocking a couple of new Beyond episodes. Both from the previous season, season 19. Now, a quick reminder to hear more content like this, a lot more content, in fact, just visit us in the Beyond, where $5 a month gets you at least 2 hours of bonus Monsters Among Us content each month, plus access to hundreds of hours of back content, all for the price of a cup of coffee. Visit MonstersAmongUsPodcast.com and click that Patreon tab. Now, please enjoy the Beyond portion of Season 19, Episode 6, already in progress. So you have no excuse. Join us in the Beyond, where you get to hear stories like Taylor's out of the state of Indiana.
Hi, Derek. This is Taylor from Indiana. I was just calling to talk about weird occurrences that have happened since having my son. I sadly lost my son, Jack, at 22 weeks in June of this year. After having him, all these weird things started occurring. Like, I remembered having a dream prior to him being born, and all I remembered was 22. And I was like, okay, cool, like, whatever. He'll probably be born on the 22nd. And he was born at 22 weeks exactly. His birth weight and height respectively added up to 22. He was 11 inches long and 1 pound, 1 ounce. So I added up to 22, like 2 plus 2. I'm weird. Then when we came home from the hospital, there was a singular flower that had bloomed on a plant that didn't have any buds on it when we had left for the hospital. It was only supposed to bloom in like the spring and like late fall. Like, that was weird. But what's weird is 22 is my lucky number. It has always been my lucky number. I was born on the 22nd of a month. My full maiden name was 22 letters. But yeah, like 22 was the weird number. And after we lost him and we got back, we decided to go to Florida just for like a little weekend vacation so that we could kind of like clear our minds and kind of prepare for everything. On our way to Florida, we stopped and we got some breakfast. Well, the check came and it was $22.96. 22 being the number that I've had a dream about. And then 96 was the year that my husband was born in. So I was like, all right, that's weird. No, whatever. So we continue driving. I took back over for driving for my husband, and he was asleep. I was driving through Tennessee, almost Alabama, I think. And so we were going through the mountains, and so I was scrolling through the radio station, just trying to find first radio station that like comes through clear. And then all of a sudden, like, the clear, really nice radio station comes through. I'm like, okay, cool, whatever, listen to it. It's not bad music. And then it goes to like, welcome back, blah, 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 kind of thing. And it was, welcome back to Jack FM. And I was like, what? So like, I woke my husband up to make sure he's seeing it and hearing it too. And by golly, it was Jack FM. And a little bit later, I was still driving and I was just thinking of Jack and like, you know, everything. And right next to us came a semi that was JW cattle hauling. JW is part of my son's initials. So I thought that was a weird but cool sign that he's just constantly there and telling me that everything's going to be okay. And that, you know, he loves and misses me because, gosh, do I miss and love him. But thank you so much, Derek. Bye.
Thank you, Taylor. And we're so sorry for your loss. But how incredible that the number 22 keeps popping up for you like that. Now, if something like that occurred a few times, we could argue it's simply a coincidence. But to have it happen so many times, and to have the radio station share the same name as your son, well, frankly, it's pretty incredible. And I hope for your sake, Taylor, that it was Jack reaching back out to you. Stranger things certainly have happened. So once again, our condolences and thank you again for sharing the call. And welcome back, Monster Squad. It's great to have you join us here this evening. Now, per usual, I have a few fun entries locked and loaded for you tonight. You're going to be happy that you stopped by. But before we move on to our next call, last week, I jokingly mentioned membership cards. Well, it seems like I'm not the only one that likes that idea. I received all sorts of messages from listeners telling me they would be a proud card-carrying member. So listen, I'm not ruling out the idea. I did a little bit of research on it, and I haven't yet found an affordable source for these cards. But I'll keep digging on it. And if I can pull it off, I certainly will. I'll be honest, it excites me that you guys are jazzed about the idea. So I'll continue to keep you all posted, but in the meantime, if anyone has any insight or hookups for membership cards, go ahead and reach out to me.
Take a teaspoon of this powder and...
Bad. They shouldn't even be called.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. As seasons change and it gets darker earlier, it can be a tough time for many. This month, don't forget to check in on your loved ones. I know sometimes it can be hard to be the first one to reach out, but I know when you do it, you'll be happy you did. And the same goes for therapy. Sometimes it's hard to make the first move, but oftentimes once you do, you'll find yourself asking, why didn't I do this sooner? Therapy has been there for me during the darkest of times, and I really think the right therapist, who you can speak freely with, without judgment, can really change everything. BetterHelp therapists work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the U.S. A short questionnaire helps you get matched with a therapist who meets your needs and preferences. And if for some reason you're not vibing with your therapist, you can switch at any time. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is one of the world's largest online therapy platforms. And it works, with an average rating of 4.9 out of 5. For a live session based on over 1.7 million client reviews. This month, don't wait to reach out. Whether you're checking in on a friend or reaching out to a therapist yourself, BetterHelp makes it easier to take that first step. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/MAU. Again, that's betterhelp.com/MAU.
It looks like it's an uphill battle.
Some more on anticipating the future.
How about another eerie entry? This next one takes us to Texas and features a menagerie of strange figures. Please welcome Maddie from the Lone Star State.
Hi there. This is Maddie from North Texas. A few days ago, I had a really bad headache and decided to take a nap in the middle of the day. And I had this dream, and I'm sure you know how like nap dreams can be pretty crazy sometimes. So in the dream, I was essentially like flown into this like very heavily wooded, very snowy, mountainous area. And I was flown in and eventually found myself like with a lot of purpose, trying to find this massive wooden structure house type thing, I guess. And I finally find it. I walk in. The house is very, very big. I find this bedroom. Again, huge, absolutely massive bedroom. And there is a bed in the middle of the bedroom, but it's floating. And it's actually much closer to the ceiling than it is to the floor. And I just instinctively make my way up to the bed. And I climb up onto the side of the bed where I find this massive woman who I basically immediately recognized that she was like a giant. And I didn't have any fear in me. But she had really long gray hair and she was asleep. She had like a pink blanket and she was wearing like a green nightgown. I essentially woke her up when I climbed up onto the side of her bed. But we had a conversation and I don't remember the conversation, but I do remember feeling like very comforted after the fact. And after that, I asked her about her son, which she told me that I could see him, but that she had to summon him And I was like, yep, yes, let's do that. So she does. I go and wait for him in like the living area of this massive house, which I now realize is a regular house, but is scaled to be a giant's house. And I'm waiting on the living room couch when finally these three men arrive, giants. It is this man and his two guards. I don't really have a description of the two guards. I definitely remember them in their presence. But more than anything, I remember that the man whom I asked for, the woman's son, felt very much like an old friend to me. And it was really good to see him. He had red, very scruffy hair. He was shirtless, which didn't come off as weird to me, even though it was very cold and snowy outside. And I remember that he was wearing sort of a leafy green, like made of leaves and twigs, crown and like a kilt. We hugged and I had a conversation with him and everything was really good. It just felt like a very good dream. And I woke up and, you know, it felt important, but also really weird. And I didn't have any answers for what it meant. So I kind of just noted what the dream had been about. And then I went about my day. And a couple nights later, so not last night, but two nights ago, I had my first night terror. It was completely heinous, horrific. I truly cannot even put into words what that was like, but I woke up from that night terror screaming. I mean, scream, crying, wailing, whatever you want to call it, but like a cry that has not escaped me since the day my grandfather died, which was 2 years ago now. I screamed for probably a whole hour. My husband did not know what to do with me. He kept asking me to like talk to him and tell him what was the dream about, what was it about, and I just couldn't even speak through the screams. It was so intense. Anyway, he gives me my anxiety medication, helps me as much as possible calm down. And anyway, it was so disruptive. I'm very chronically ill. I have a lot of different diagnoses, but one of which is cyclic vomiting syndrome, which I was born with. This night terror, I guess, was so intense for me that it triggered an episode. So I ended up vomiting, you know, for the first part of the day, it was every hour or so. And then there by the end, I had vomited at least 5 times in 20 minutes. And that was the running ratio that we were going, that we kept counting. And anyway, it was really rough. It was a really bad day. Anyway, today, I'm standing in my kitchen and I'm listening to your podcast. I believe I'm somewhere back in a random episode of season 11, just vibing, listening as usual. And a man discussed hearing his family banshee when his uncle had a seizure at work and wasn't found for, I think he said 10 or 15 minutes. And then I think he said his uncle passed away like a few weeks later in the hospital, and he talked about the family banshee. After that, you talked about what different banshees might look like. And one of your descriptions was exactly what that old giant woman from my nap dream looked like. And that immediately rang a bell for me. So I quickly paused the podcast, did a quick Google search because I had this memory that Irish folklore and giants, there was a thing there. And I quickly looked that up, confirmed that to be true, and then decided to look a little further and see in Irish folklore, like, what do giants look like? How are they depicted? And sure enough, it looks exactly like the king looked from my dream. He said he became a king. I don't know if I mentioned that, but he had two guards, and he told me that he had become a king. I also read that not every family hears a banshee. I think there are 5 surnames in Ireland. Those families will hear the banshee, but other families, like blended Irish families, might see their family banshee. And a chill started to kind of run up my spine because, I don't know, I'm starting to put 2 and 2 together, I guess, and I'm realizing maybe in my dream, I saw my family banshee. Maybe I talked with her. Like, maybe I didn't hear her. I just talked with her. And maybe I didn't have to hear that banshee scream that everyone talks about and that I think everyone, rightfully so, is really terrified of hearing. I don't know what to do. I'm just shaking. Honestly, I realized I didn't have to hear the banshee, but then it occurred to me that maybe I became the banshee. Like, maybe that night terror that was so full of rotten death made me scream like that because I had seen my family banshee and now she was using me, almost. From my research, I read in Irish folklore that giants come from under the earth, or like from under the sea, I think is how I read it, and hopefully I interpreted that correctly. And in the dream, the woman who I now believe to be my family banshee, she did mention she had to summon him. Once again, I don't know what that means. I just think that it adds validity to what I believe is happening. Anyway, I don't know exactly what date it is, but it is the very early part of February 2025. When my grandfather died on February 23rd, 2023, I had a weird feeling in my gut that day that my grandmother would pass on the same date. Well, it's in the first week of February. February 23rd is approaching, and I'm worried and scared that what I think is true might really be true, and that February 23rd will be her last day here. I certainly hope that that's not the case, but if it is, I'm really scared. Thanks, Derek.
Wow. There is a lot to unravel here, but masterfully told, Maddie. Thank you for sharing your story. Now, as of the recording of this episode, we have not heard back from Maddie, so hopefully that dreaded day came and passed without tragedy. And I believe she's referring to Dale's entry from Season 17, Episode 9's Beyond Portion. A story about a trip Dale and his brothers took to Ireland. Actually, this is the Beyond. We have all the time in the world. So let's just play his story once again. So out of the state of Florida, here is Dale's banshee story.
Hey Derek, this is Dale. I called earlier with a story. My brother and I went to Ireland last year to research our roots and kind of find our roots. Our last name's Hayes, like yours, but we kind of had a general idea where our roots were from and our family and stuff like that. So we did a 2-week tour. We didn't go with a tour group or anything like that. We just kind of did our own thing. Went off the beaten path. And we stayed at a haunted castle, which was funny. We stayed at Ballygally Castle in Northern Ireland. Didn't see any ghosts. They have a tower that's supposedly haunted. but we didn't see anything. We were even joking around, telling the, you know, the ghost to bring us beer and stuff like that to our room, you know, sitting there mocking it. Nothing ever happened. Anyways, the last night we flew into Dublin and we pretty much went all around the island. So, you know, went from Northern Ireland all the way down to Donegal, then to Clare and Kerry and all that, went back to Dublin. The last night that we were staying there, my brother and I had to be up early in the morning to catch our flight out back to Florida. So we knew we really couldn't do any drinking or anything like that. So we had like one beer at the bar, went back, went to bed pretty much the same time. So anyways, I was about to fall asleep, and I was in that in-between state where you're like, you're kind of awake, but you're not, and you're about to fall asleep. Anyways, I heard like a shrieking. I wouldn't call it a wailing. My brother said he heard a shrieking or a wailing sound. It sounded more like a shrieking to me. And we both woke up at the same time. I turned over instinctively to kind of hit like an alarm clock, thinking it was an alarm or the phone or something like that. But there wasn't an alarm clock there, and the phone wasn't ringing. So I kind of sat there for a minute, kind of dazed. And in Ireland, there is no AC. So like, you have to open a window or something like that, and they have a fan. They usually have fans you can put in the room, but other than that, there's no central AC, so you have to use like ambient air. So anyways, it really wasn't foggy out. So I'm laying on the bed, I look over at my brother, and he's like, what, you know, what the hell was that? And I'm like, I don't know. And he described what he thought was a shrieking, wailing kind of sound. Sounded like a shrieking to me. I wouldn't have said wailing, but anyways, kind of shrugged it off. But then in front of me, as I turned back, was a, like almost a ring. It almost looked like fog, but as I looked at it, it was only like a second. It just like moved into me, and a gust of air just moved into me. And prior to that, there was no air movement in the room. It was actually kind of stuffy. So anyways, didn't think anything of it. I told my brother what I experienced. He thought it was weird, but we kind of chucked it up. We kind of played around and said it was a banshee. Well, he doesn't believe in specters or ghosts or anything like that. I'm still on the fence about it. But come to find out later on, we went there April 18th, and my uncle was going to have a biopsy for, I guess, like a tumor or something like that. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't even know he had a tumor. Anyways, he died a month and a half after that. And it just seems coincidental. And I don't know if it was a banshee, but it's kind of weird. It's almost because banshees are supposed to be a sign of impending doom or a family member that's dying. And both sides of our family are from Ireland. So I don't know. Thought that'd be a pretty cool story. It definitely was weird. Not saying it was a banshee, but definitely weird. Weird how the events turned out. So anyways, maybe you can use this, maybe you can't. All right, thanks. Bye.
And thanks again to Dale for sending that story in. Now I admit, I know next to nothing about banshees, so I don't have much input on either of these stories. But I really enjoy when we cover one of these obscure paranormal characters. And the banshee certainly fits those parameters. So thank you again, Maddie, for calling in and for sharing your experience. Let's hope for your sake this was all just a series of bad dreams. Thanks again for calling in. Now then, that brings us to the final story of the evening. And I saved a real spooky one for last. From the state of New Hampshire, please welcome Alice to the program.
Hey, Derek. I believe my Monsters Among Us alter ego is Alice. I was listening to the podcast and heard a story that triggered my memory, coupled with a really interesting, I work in a museum, AMA, Reddit thing I read. So there are three different parts. I call these my apartment ghost experiences, I guess. The first one is the most substantial, and it involves the house where I spent the majority of my childhood. And this is in Seacoast, New Hampshire. My parents built this house in the late 90s on an old plot of farmland that had been parceled up. It was on the precipice of this really huge marsh, and there's a logging road and a couple acres on one side, and then our house, our street. In the winter, when it would freeze over, would four-wheel back there, would explore. But it was kind of creepy, and, you know, you could trick yourself into believing that, like, Bigfoot and all his homies, like, hung out there. We had moved into this house when I was about 7 or 8. The home that we lived in before was this really sunny, kind of storybook childhood home that I really loved, and I was loath to leave it even as a little kid. It was the place where we'd have sleepovers in the great room, like, roam everywhere, the neighborhood, you felt safe. But as soon as we moved into this new place, my mom would remark that me and my youngest sister was a baby at the time, would never really hang out outside our rooms, that we always kind of felt scared to set up our Buzz Lightyear tent in the family room. We could never put a finger on why. My father is like a part-time historian, and growing up, he would collect World War II memorabilia, mainly World War II memorabilia, but he had interests outside of World War II. He just loved history. So as he grew older, he had a room in the basement where he had all kinds of stuff. Old, no longer functional weapons, uniforms, helmets. And as I came to learn later in life, a KKK uniform. There was Nazi memorabilia down there, not that he had any of those ideals, but he viewed it as, you know, interesting history. Helmets with bullet holes that I guess still had blood in them. And growing up was not easy. My relationship with my family is really strained. And the last couple of years I was living in that house were really hard times. My sister at the same time was having these really odd dreams of a Bigfoot-like creature who just had two large eyes, no other distinct features in his face, who she would, in her dreams, see staring at her from the marsh. Some night to a dream, he would walk up the stairs of our deck and stare in the big glass doorways looking at her. This discomfort with any place outside of our rooms lasted the majority of the time that we were there. And I remember living there, things were stressful. My parents were having money problems. It was just a really rough time. And I would hear people whispering all the time outside of the corner of my ear. And I would always assume it was my parents talking smack about me because, you know, I always seemed to set them off for some reason or other. And I'd go to confront them over what I was hearing and there would be nobody there. Or I'd be alone in the house. And there was nothing on that could indicate that there was, you know, a radio going or, you know, that I was hearing something other than what I thought I was hearing. I also should note that I don't have a history of hallucinations or auditory visual, any of that. I couldn't detect the source of any of these noises. People who came in the house didn't notice it, but living there was a vibe. It's kind of akin in my mind to in Harry Potter when Harry or Ron or Hermione are wearing a necklace that's a Horcrux that has an evil soul in it. It just sours their mood and makes them really grumpy and sad. And at the time, I just always attributed it to just kind of the rough situation growing up in an abusive household. You know, I just figured it was that. I even had a therapist at the time say that there was a spirit of oppression around my house. And so I just figured it was just a, you know, personality thing. However, when I was listening to a recent episode and read this thing on Reddit about this museum guard who was hearing voices and felt a presence around this KKK uniform. And what he was describing felt like somebody had peered into my mind and kind of experienced living in my house growing up. And it was in that moment that I wondered if there wasn't something paranormal. My sisters and I would always joke that we had all these old artifacts in the basement, you know, haha, possessed. But it was always kind of tongue-in-cheek. even though we grew up in a religious household and believe in, you know, spiritual warfare and what have you. But until that moment, I hadn't really thought about it. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised. So I moved out. I haven't spoken to my parents in years, so I don't know if my dad still has a lot of that stuff or what, but they don't live there anymore. Yeah, definitely creepy. My other quick apartment stories. My first apartment was in an old New England mill town, very Stephen King-ish. The apartment was a reconditioned carriage house. Storage was tight. Whoever built it had all these ingenious storage options. And in the top of a closet was this like panel you'd push up and you could store boxes up in the ceiling. And loved this cozy little apartment, but I hated that closet. I would always try and keep the door shut at night because it was just weird and I didn't like the push-up thing and wondering who could be crawling around there and bugs. I just didn't like it. But one night, I had gone to bed and forgotten to close the door. And I heard rustling in the closet. Couldn't tell you what it was, but I had this voice that wasn't an actual voice. It was in my head telling me to close my eyes. And I had this rush of fear that I couldn't explain. I closed my eyes and then I heard the rustling turn into a bounce, more rustling, and it stopped. And that feeling of fear went away. And I felt like it was finally safe to open my eyes. Couldn't tell you again what that was. Never saw any bugs or vermin in there. But I will tell you, I never slept with the closet door open again. Last story, and then I will let you go. My second big girl apartment, when I moved down to North Carolina, where I am now, I lived on the outskirts of a big city. It's a pretty transitory city. Lots of young adults in the banking industry, people coming and going, you know, with the mental health crisis as it is. It's just a really interesting time to be a young person in this particular city. I got this apartment sight unseen because I was moving from New England down to the South and didn't have the time or money to kind of house hunt. So I moved into this apartment and I was a little disappointed walking in. It was newer within the past couple years, but the vibe was just off. I noticed when I was kind of going through and filming everything for the "This is the state I found my apartment in" videos, so give me my deposit back. I noticed that the ribbing in the closet where, you know, you hang stuff and the shelving and everything, I noticed that it had been really poorly fixed and that there'd been big chunky like holes in the wall. It had clearly broken and somebody had really poorly plastered it back together. Thought that was weird, but didn't pay a ton of mind to it. But I did notice in this apartment, I would see things out of the corner of my eye and it always looked like there was a little shadow cat darting around. But I just thought, you know, you're seeing things. It's nothing. I should add that my mental health in this apartment was among the lowest it's ever been. I wasn't in the best of places. I wasn't sleeping a ton. I figured maybe I was just seeing things out of the corner of my eye. Fast forward a year, I decide I want to move to a better apartment closer to my job. And my sister and I are packing out this apartment. And we, for whatever reason, cannot stand to be in the bedroom where this closet was alone at night. And it was odd because I had lived there and we had spent time there, but we just felt this feeling like we needed to pack up quickly. We were on the last couple rounds of moving, you know, stuff out, and we needed to go. And she'll still bring it up to this day. Like, wasn't that vibe really weird? And I remember going back and cleaning it, my one last clean, and I didn't want to stay there long, which was odd. I had never felt that feeling before. But for whatever reason, I have no rational explanation. I could totally be barking up the wrong tree. But this was kind of confirmed by my sister, who's close friends with a seer. I have always felt that the issue with the ribbing in the closet had to do with this darkness that I felt. And I always felt, for whatever reason, that somebody had committed suicide in the closet, hung themselves, and in the process had pulled down this ribbing. My sister had asked the seer friend of hers to take a glimpse into my apartment. And this woman said, without prodding, that there was something evil in that closet. couldn't tell you what that means. And then interestingly, I was listening to another podcast and they were talking about demons and how they manifested. And sometimes that they can be the size of a cat that you see out of the corner of your eye. I remember hearing that and had goosebumps. So whatever it was, who knows? I don't live there anymore. My new apartment, great vibes. Love it. I thought there was a friendly ghost because one particular figurine of mine kept blowing over, but I realized it was probably the air conditioning. So I'm not always a believer. There have just been some times, like the ones I laid out, where explanation kind of defies reason. Anyway, Derek, the show is great. I love it. Thanks for all you do, and talk soon. Bye.
Thank you, Alice. That's quite a lot of activity. Grim activity as well. Between your dad's possibly haunted collection and the suspect closet damage, it's all pretty dark. And if I didn't know any better, Alice, I'd say that maybe something is following you around. Perhaps an attachment from your father's morbid collection. Of course, I have zero evidence to support that theory, but that is where my imagination takes me.
319. For her, it's in the importance of...
What was it, a laundry room to be able to...
Now for the second half of tonight's double feature. The following originally aired as the Beyond portion to Season 19, Episode 12. Please enjoy the show. Now folks, you know what time it is. It's time to go beyond. And I'll meet you on the other side of this call from Debbie in New York. Now it's MonstersAmongUsPodcast.com and click that Patreon tab for full access.
Hi, Derek. My name is Debbie, and I'm calling from near Rochester, New York. I'm going to tell you and your listeners something that happened to me long before most of you were even born. This is going into the Wayback Machine here. In 1964, I was a middle school kid and a big fan of a new group from England called the Beatles. And their movie, A Hard Day's Night, had just been released in the United States and was playing in a nearby town. So a friend and I went to see it, had a wonderful time screaming and yelling, jumping up and down and not really listening to the movie. And when the movie was over and the lights came on again, we started talking to some girls behind us. And they were from a small town in Pennsylvania. We were near the Pennsylvania border at that time. And they'd come up just to see the movie, and we started talking about how much we liked the group, and we decided to be pen pals or phone call pals. We started corresponding. We became very friendly, and my friend Alice and I started traveling back and forth to each other's houses on weekends, now and then, to visit and have fun. We did things like, ripping up teen magazines and putting pictures on the wall and all that. But when we ran out of doing that, we got out a Ouija board and started to play with the Ouija board. And Alice had all of her other friends come over sometimes. We played with the board, and it worked really, really well for us. The spirit who talked to us said his name was John, J-O-N. I mention that because recently someone called in saying that they had met a spirit named Doug or something very, prosaic that isn't usually the name of a spooky spirit. But this John, which could be short for Jonathan, said he was an apprentice spirit, and sometimes he would have to go off and ask a more experienced spirit for the answers to our questions. And we just did the things girls usually do at that age, like, who's going to be my boyfriend? Am I going to have a happy marriage? Will I have a career, et cetera, et cetera? The answers were sometimes really specific, very interesting. And then it began to talk to us about all of our past lives. That was pretty interesting for us. One of the places I had lived, apparently, the spirit spelled out A-N-G-L-E-S-E-Y, I think. And I thought it was Anglaise or something like that. I didn't know what that meant. But since it spelled that out a couple times, I thought I'd look into it. I was kind of jarred by that. I didn't know what to think. And when I got home, I took a bus to a nearby town that had a bigger library than we had in my village. And I went to the Atlas and found it. And it's a place in Wales, right on the coast, right across the water from Liverpool, I think. And I'd never heard of it before, and I'd always wondered whether that was something that was in the back of my mind and just came out, you know, when my brain was relaxed and trying to connect with the board, or if somebody else in the group had heard of that and were trying to fool me. But I asked them about it later, and everyone swore that they weren't trying to trick me, that that was really what the board spelled out. I didn't think much of it until many years later. I was working in the kitchen, and the TV in the living room was on, and the show Most Haunted from the UK was on. And I heard them talk about being in Anglesey, and I think that's what the place was. If I'm not mistaken, I think that Prince William, current Prince of Wales, worked there as a helicopter rescue pilot for a time before his marriage. Anyway, I always thought that was kind of strange that it was so specific. Later had my DNA done through Ancestry, and mostly British and Irish, so, you know, I kind of had an affinity for that kind of thing. Now, years later, another friend from my hometown and I were roommates at a nearby college. My roommate and I tried Ouija board once. We weren't particularly good at it. And my boyfriend was there at the time. I married that young man a couple of years later. And the Ouija board said it wouldn't speak to us because the believer was there. And we were kind of offended because we thought that since we were all Christians as well, we all had were very active in our churches, that my soon-to-be husband had something special about him that the Ouija board could sense and it did not want to participate in reading for us when he was present. I wondered whether other people out there have had the experience where Ouija board works better with some group of friends than others, or somebody might actually drag down the whole experience so that it won't work. Other than the Beatles and the Ouija board, I didn't have anything much in common with these other girls, and we lost touch after our high school years. So I just wanted to see if anyone else had that experience, or if they've had a Ouija board tell them something kind of startling. I can't prove that I ever lived there, but I hadn't heard of the place, and it turned out to be real. Well, thanks very much for your program. I enjoy it. I listen to it every week. And keep up the good work. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Debbie. How about it, folks? How many of you have shared a similar experience as Debbie here, who has learned about their past lives by the swirl of the planchette? I'd say the chances are good that there's a number of you out there. So don't leave Debbie hanging. Give us a call if it's an experience you've had. 888-608-NIGHT. Well, thank you again, Debbie, for taking the time to share the phone call. Welcome back, Monster Squad. It's so good to have you with us here tonight. Now, I have a number of interesting stories to share with you this evening. And in the interest of keeping the party going, let's just fire off our next entry. So from the state of Texas, please welcome Anne to the program.
Hi, Derek and Monsters Among Us fans. This is Anne calling from Texas. I want to tell you about something that happened to me, something that followed me home from a cabin up in Oregon about 25 years ago. I was married to someone different then, and he and I decided to go up to an area near Walla Walla Lake in Oregon and stay in a little cabin up there and, you know, just do some hiking and that kind of thing. So I found a little group of cabins and I think there were 7 or 8 of them. All of them were booked except for one, and so I booked that one, and I think we were going to stay about 5 nights. So long flight, you know, tiring day. We finally get there, I get checked in, go on into our cabin, and right away I just felt off about the place. But I thought, well, maybe it's because it was sort of stuck in the 70s. Shag carpet, a lot of brass, just not real pretty or updated. Also, I felt like maybe I had a little cold or something like that coming on, so I didn't feel real great. So I just sort of attributed it to that. However, as we sort of walked around and checked it out, on the first floor, there was 2 floors. The first floor was the living. It was very simple, living room, kitchen, and a bathroom. And then there was an upstairs that you access through a little staircase, but it had one of those almost like an attic type door that you could close. It was a hole up in the ceiling, so you could close it off. But up there was a bedroom with another separate tiny little bedroom, almost closet size, next to it with a door separating the two. But in that door, and then the door underneath the staircase, there was a lock on the outside of the door. And we thought, well, that's kind of strange. It was just one of those eye hook type locks, you know, just a little simple eye hook lock. And I thought, well, maybe the door hangs weird and doesn't stay closed. And so they do that to keep it closed. And I tested it out. Neither door did that. So that was kind of strange. My husband thought it was a little weird too. But anyway, he left to go into town to get some groceries, and I stayed behind to take a little nap, thinking it would make me feel better. Pushed up against the wall where that little staircase was a couch, so I laid down on that. Fell into a very fitful sleep. I kept dreaming that there was something above me looking down at me through that hole up in the ceiling. Just kept dreaming that, just kept having the feeling that something was up there watching me. Anyway, husband came back. We wound up going out, doing a little hiking, coming back, calling it kind of an early night. I went ahead and got ready for bed first and went on upstairs. We were going to sleep up there in the larger bedroom. And I laid down and I just felt very uneasy. And my brother likes to tease me and say I have a ghost radar that works very well. I don't know if you call it that or not, but I do seem to sort of be able to sense when things are not quite right. Anyway, my ghost radar, if you want to call it that, was really pinging in the red up there. I just really did not feel comfortable up there. But I went ahead and laid down. Husband came up, laid down next to me. You know, it's getting settled in. We were very tired. And I scooted all the way up against him. I was laying flat on my back. Very dark room. And I just had this sensation that something was going to get me and was hovering just above me. I felt a presence almost touching me, like as if it was something hovering about an inch above me. Well, it freaked me out. I threw back the covers and I was so scared. And you have to understand, that is not like me. I've had odd paranormal things happen to me my entire life, and they don't scare me. I don't react like most people do to those sorts of things. But I was very afraid in that moment. So afraid that I don't remember running down the little staircase. I pretty much just jumped down. jumped down to the first floor. And of course, my husband is up there, you know, what is going on? And I can see his feet from where I'm standing because I've backed up. And he's shuffling around. He turns on the light. What are you doing down there? And I'm like, just come down here. Come down here. And in my head, like the whole time, I'm screaming in my head, get out of there, get out of there, get out of there. And I'm just so alarmed. And again, not like me at all. So finally, he comes down the stairs. He's thoroughly confused. He's got, you know, the blankets. He's got a pile of pillows. He's like, what are you doing? I said, there's something not right up there. There's just something not right. So he comes down. Well, he's never seen me like this before because I've never acted like that before because I've never felt like that before. I was so alarmed and almost hysterical with fear and fright and the sense of something is terribly wrong here. And so I was trying to explain that to him without sounding like a complete and total nut job. I just said, shut that door, shut that little door, shut it, shut it, shut it. And so he did. He scrambled up the stairs and shut the door. Well, he didn't really believe in anything, but he saw my reaction and he saw how afraid I was. And so that kind of made him a little bit afraid because not normal for me. So we wound up sleeping on the couch that night. It took me a long time to settle down and I had all the lights on. We went out the next day. We tried to make a go of it. I think we spent one more night there again, downstairs, lights on. I couldn't do it. We checked out early. Like I said, I think we were going to spend at least 5 nights there. We checked out after 2. And the lady that checked us out did not ask us why we were checking out early. She didn't seem surprised we were checking out early. Nothing. Okay. Well, anyway, I guess you could chalk that up to, oh, long day, didn't feel well, who knows? I don't know how you could, really, because like I said, that is not my nature at all to be that afraid of anything. So, whatever. We come home. Now, we'd been living in this apartment for about a year before we went away to Oregon. And when we came back, strange things started happening in that apartment. Whereas nothing had happened before then, nothing at all, just a normal place. Things would start disappearing, like my makeup, of all weird things, hand towels, strange things just would go missing and then show up in weird places. I had a cat at the time who slept with me. And to top it all off, my husband worked graveyard shift at that time. So I was alone most nights. So I would be sleeping. I would have the sensation or hear someone walking down the hallway and coming into the bedroom and standing at the end of the bed, that kind of shuffling carpet sound, like someone's feet shuffling on the carpet. I heard it a lot, and my cat also would react because he normally slept in the bed next to me. And he would also pick his head up and look where I was hearing the sound. So he always reacted to it as well. That was unnerving enough, and all the things disappearing and reappearing, that was strange too. But a thing that really scared me was that there would be knocking on the headboard. Not as I was drifting off. I had insomnia back then, really bad. I'd be laying there trying to go to sleep, and just a quick knock, knock, you know, next to my head on the headboard. I had no way to explain that. Sometimes it was just light tapping. That's how it started, to where I just thought, oh, is that something outside? But then it got progressively louder. That happened about 5 or 6 times, and that was very unnerving to me. But the creepiest thing was that at least twice a week, I would have a nightmare about the cabin. And it was very similar each time I had it. But in each one, I would relive that fear. And I would wake up always somewhere between 3 and 3:30, you know, the witching hour, but always somewhere in there. Wake up and I would in my head be thinking, it's trying to come through. It's trying to come through my dream. And I know that doesn't make any sense, but that was my thought every time I had that dream. And like I said, it was at least twice a week. And I would be in a ball on the bed, just curled up, you know, really tense and afraid from this dream every time. This went on for about a year. And then it culminated one night, again, with a nightmare. But this time it was so bad that as I was waking up curled in my little tight ball, I was wishing my mother was there. It sent me back into like this primal childhood. I'm afraid, I want my mom sort of fear as I was waking up. And in my head, I could hear this voice saying, "It's come through, it's come through," like screaming at me, "It's come through, it's come through." And I woke up and I sat up. And most of the time when I had that nightmare, I would just wake up, shake it off, as you do, and lay back down and, you know, eventually go back to sleep. But this time I woke up and I felt like it had come through my dream and was there in the room with me. I had a very strong sense of a presence. Well, my cat was sitting up in the bed and looking toward the corner of the room as well. So I scooped up my cat and I went out in the living room and I thought, well, I'll just turn on the light and kind of walk around for a minute, get a drink of water, and, you know, it'll fade like nightmares do and you go back to bed. But it wasn't fading at all. In fact, the feeling was getting stronger that there was something back there in my bedroom. And the word that kept coming to my mind was the word lair, L-A-I-R, lair, like something was back there in my bedroom. And I was very scared. I turned on the TV. I, you know, did all the tricks you do to kind of shake off a bad dream. And nothing was working, and I did not want to go back in my bedroom. I tried to call my husband at work, but he was hard to get hold of when he was at work. That was just the nature of his job. I didn't know who else to call. It was by then around 4 or 5 in the morning. I'd been up trying to shake this feeling off, and I didn't want to call and wake anyone up, of course. So I couldn't think of what to do. Well, my grandmother had a Bible, and when she passed, it was just one of the things that kind of got passed on to me. It was a beautiful old, a lot of illustrations and things in it, and I wasn't particularly religious, but it was just there because it reminded me of my grandma. And so I picked that up and I just started saying the Lord's Prayer, and it was all I could think to do. And eventually the feeling did subside. I said the Lord's Prayer, I don't know, 3 or 4 times, something like that. And after that, I never had that dream again, and nothing happened in that apartment again. And so I'm still not a religious person. I'm a spiritual person because of all the things that have happened to me in my life. It's kind of hard for me not to believe in a spiritual realm and those sorts of things, angelic realms. But I don't know. That seems to have gotten rid of it, or it just culminated naturally and faded away on its own. I'm not sure. So I guess be careful what you bring home with you from vacation. The really weird thing is the thought of it's come through. Well, something was already there. Something had been, you know, kind of stalking me in my apartment already. So I don't know what the other it is that came through. One was already there and had been there about a year. And then the other one finally somehow came through in a dream. So, yeah, sweet dreams tonight, everyone. Thanks, Derek, for all you do. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Anne. Another caller that saved a cat from a ghost. I love to hear it. And you're singing my song here, Anne. I've been saying for years that you have to be careful what you bring back from hotels, motels, and Airbnbs. It might be more than just bedbugs. And depending on how you look at it, worse than bedbugs. Now, Anne, we sure do appreciate you sharing the story with us. Now you've got us all second-guessing that upcoming vacation. So real quick, we have a lot of new Monster Squad members as of late, so I figured it was a good time to remind everyone that if you're listening to this, then you have access to our secret shop. Just visit monstersamonguspodcast.com and click the VIP shop tab and enter password. Just punch that in and you'll get instant access to a t-shirt design made specifically for the Monster Squad. We call it the phone booth design. And yes, it has my face on it. Again, that's monstersamonguspodcast.com and click the VIP shop tab. Now our final entry this evening finds us in New York. Please welcome Hannah to the platform.
Hi, Derek, and also the Monsters Among Us listeners. My name is Hannah. I am calling from Brooklyn, New York, 11237. I'm going to not tell you exactly where this is because this just happened on the cross streets of where I actually live. This happened on today, which is January 29th. I was walking towards the city bike dock to grab a bicycle to go play pool with my friends. I'm a cat lover, and so like I had noticed in the distance, like perhaps, I don't know, maybe like 100 feet away from me, and you know, it's nighttime, so like this is all kind of lit by the streetlights. So I noticed a normal size like house cat, perhaps a black cat. It was just bounding across the street, which always makes me nervous because I don't want any of them to get hit. But then I didn't see it anymore, and then that's when I also noticed kind of like bobbing above like the height of cars was a figure that is like a shadow. It was like bobbing above the cars, but also I had the distinct feeling that it was paying attention to me and how much I was looking at it. But there's also all of this other stimuli happening, like traffic, and also I'm still kind of being like, yeah, but where'd that cat go? And then it just kind of like got close to a building, and it kept looking at me, and I kept looking at it, and then it just like stayed still next to the building. And at that point, I kept looking at it, and I was like, maybe I didn't see anything. I don't know. Also, very bizarrely, I did see three people who were like of the same height, but this was earlier in the night. There was no missing time. And I was just like, I don't want to look at them, you know, because I was heading to meet somebody and I was like, they're going to be really mad at me tomorrow if I'm just like, I don't know what happened. Something I'm concerned about now is that like, if they notice us noticing them, do you think that we are safe? You know, because like maybe they have their own heckin' podcast about us. I don't know. Anyway, thank you for your show. I appreciate it, like truly. And I know that we call this entertainment, but like, we're actually trying to figure something out, right? Can you please respond to that question? Thank you. I appreciate everything that you guys are doing. Goodbye.
Thank you, Hannah. And yes, in our own weird way, we're trying to figure this stuff out. Some folks go out in the field and do boots-on-the-ground research. Others spend their time thumbing through dusty books, flickering microfiche machines, and unorganized personal files. Others, like us here at MAU and other paranormal podcasts, we get the message out there. We collect the stories. We highlight obscure news reports, and we make the connections that keeps all of this stuff relevant. It's a team effort, I guess is what I'm trying to say. But just like you, Hannah, we want answers.
Or just two of the small steps you ever need to think.
Now, it's been a real long time since I did a secret story here on the Beyond, so I figured I'd throw you guys a bone tonight. So, from the state of Florida, please welcome John to tonight's program.
Hi, this is John from Orlando, Florida. So, I drive out to work pretty early, and this particular morning, I got to work at about 5 in the morning, and it's a decent walk from the parking lot to my work building, so I tend to look up the stars more often than not. This particular morning, it was pretty clear, was July 18. I even had to write it down just because of how weird this was. that morning, there was this one bright star. Could be Mars or Venus for all I know, but it's just bright and pretty nice to look at. Again, it was clear skies. It was looking down off to the east, but you still had to look pretty much straight up to look at it. And I think, and I don't know, might have seen a UFO. The odd thing is that it disappeared when I focused on it. After I got in, I looked up the ISS flight path that day, that week, and it seemed to be down in South America at that point. And it was definitely too fast to be a plane, and it just moved too slow to be any shooting star that I could maybe visualize. I thought maybe a satellite, but I don't really know how to access those flight paths anyway. The odd thing was, and the only reason why I thought it might be a UFO, is because had it stayed visible the entire time I was looking at it, maybe it would have been more normal, but the fact that it just coincidentally disappeared, maybe within 5 seconds after I acknowledged to myself, oh, that doesn't look normal, and I focus on it, poof, that's it, it just disappeared. I'm open to any interpretation. I mean, I'm trying to be logical here, but I'd love to hear your input. Thanks.
Thanks, John. Now, I think it's worth noting that sometimes objects really high in the atmosphere catch the sun's light even though it's dark here on the Earth's surface. That is, until it reaches the Earth's shadow. From the ground, that could look like a disappearing object, like the light suddenly went out. That odd but explainable phenomena could excuse the strange vanishing act you saw, John. But we should mention that Florida is a UFO hotbed. The entire state is. So we probably shouldn't rule anything out. Either way, thank you again for sharing the bonus call with us, John. And thanks again, everyone else, for tuning in tonight. Have a good night. And there you have it, folks. A couple of Beyond Unlocks on this fine fall evening. Now, a big thanks to all the Beyond members that help make content like this possible. Well, pretty much all the content we produce, frankly. Without them, we would have been gone years ago. And if you'd like to join them in their support, remember to go to monstersamonguspodcast.com and click the Patreon tab. Now, before I go, Monsters Among Us Podcast is written and produced by me, Derek Hayes. Copyright Red Crow Media. Additional support is provided by Sarah Carter Hayes, Delaney Bowers, and Connor Ryan. All media used in this production is done so under the protection of fair use. Give us a like and follow on our social media accounts. Give us a like and follow on YouTube. Join our Discord server and leave us a rates and review wherever that sort of thing is possible. Don't forget, each Saturday evening, you can catch the show on digital radio. Go to unxnetwork.com to tune in. And finally, tonight's score was provided by Iron Cthulhu Apocalypse, Co.AG Music, and Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. All right, folks, I'll catch you back here on Thursday with a little something different. Until then, you keep it spooky, and you have a good night.